tell you, people in the northern part of Saskatchewan are taking things day by day. It is Thursday. Evan Bray, great to have you here. We've got a busy show, of course. We're staying on top of the ever-evolving wildfire situation. Our station, our newsroom, providing ongoing coverage. We've got reporters in the field. We're talking with residents. We're chatting with business owners and firefighters, and we'll continue to provide you regular updates on the situation. No state of emergency in Saskatchewan yet as a province. There are certain communities that have declared states of emergency. Of course, we know in Manitoba they have done a provincial-wide declaration on that as well. But we will continue to follow, and we'll be talking more in our Big Talker momentarily. Also, on the show today, Canada's former Chief of Defense Staff, General Rick Hillier. Love having General Hillier on the show. He's such a great Canadian leader. Should we be buying into Trump's Golden Dome missile defense system? Or is this Rearm Europe partnership the right way to go? Lots of considerations. I look forward to the conversation with General Hillier. We've got a law professor from the University of Alberta with a follow-up on the conversation that we were having on electoral reform. As firefighters dump water on fires in the north, the south part of the province bracing for maybe low water levels and potential water shortages. I've got a guest on talking about water conservation. And Terry Fox's brother Fred is in Saskatchewan talking with school students, continuing with his brother's legacy, and he'll join the show closer to lunchtime as well. All right, let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
The video and the pictures that we're seeing of these wildfires, of course, is something that jars all of us who may not be in that area of the province. You can't imagine what it's like for the people that live there, that are seeing these plumes of smoke over the top of the roof of their house. Their house that they're trying to figure out, okay, if we evacuate, what do we take with us? How can we protect our property? There's a lot going on, and already there's been loss. We know of some structures, some cabins. Luckily, no serious injuries that have occurred, but this fight continues. And I'm happy to have a guest who's joining us who has been part of many of these wildfire fights before. Adam Hartle is the CEO of Core Rock Consulting and Construction, and he runs, as a subsidiary of his company, a firefighting company that does a lot of work with the province and on behalf of residents in Saskatchewan. And I've got Adam Hartle bright and early this morning joining me. Adam, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I say bright and early because I know you've got some late nights going on as well. Can you give us a sense of where things are at in Saskatchewan in the firefighting situation?
Yeah, so CRCC Wildfire has a Facebook page, and we tried to do some updates as we've been talking to a lot of individual people about these fires in these areas. Right now, Saskatchewan has multiple major incidents. Resources are obviously going to be starting to get stretched thin. One of the biggest problems we're having right now is we draw on some of our value protection kits, which we can talk about, through some of the same suppliers as the province of Saskatchewan gets it from. And we know as of yesterday, they are depleting entirely or already depleted locally. So we've been working around the clock to reach into Alberta to special wildfire companies, corporations, private corporations that build these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have secured a whole bunch, and we've just been working hard. It's been a lot of talk, a lot of logistics. And we're moving for a full deployment to get a lot of this up on Monday as it starts coming in.
Adam Hartle, my guest, CEO of Core Rock Consulting and Construction, doing a lot of work with his team to help fight the fires and has done this over the years. Can we talk a little bit about the difference in strategy, Adam, when it comes to let's look at protecting a community like Candle Lake versus dealing with a community that might be engulfed in flames? Can you help us through the strategy of fighting a fire?
Yeah, so, I mean, if a community is at the point where it's going to be engulfed in flames, there's going to be, I've seen it where the province will do initial attack on it, but, I mean, a lot of defense work starts happening. These fires are so big, you have to see it in person. Like, they just eat absolutely everything in its path, right? So It's a very dangerous moment, but everything leading up to the possibility of that happening is where all the work, the hard work goes in, right? So setting up structure protection, equipment on homes, having rural municipal fire departments supporting the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency and structure protection. It's just a big animal when it comes to communities. We've seen it. We've worked side by side with all of them in these situations, and it's just a unified command. Like it's everybody comes together and does everything they can to stop these things.
That fire that is raging some 20 kilometers east of Candle Lake is right now the largest wildfire that's burning in the province. I know the province has authorized a fire break to be set up outside of Candle Lake. What is that exactly? How is that a fire break accomplished?
So a fire break is accomplished by mobilizing like Caterpillar dozers or excavators. I actually think that there's a high possibility that this fire break might be happening at way ahead of time, which is a good thing. So they may actually be using forestry equipment and skidding the logs out. I'm not sure. We've gotten very little information on that. But basically what a fire break does is it allows a couple things. It allows a break between the boreal forest so that you have like a no tree zone. And it also allows access for crews to get down there and to fight the fire along what they would call a fire line, mm-hmm. basically.
So how big does that have to be, Adam?
Oh, it varies. It varies. I mean, personally, if you ask me, I don't think any dozer fire line is big enough because you have situations like ember storms when you have 60-kilometer-hour winds. I mean, those fire guards are going to help, but they're not going to stop it because the ember storms are throwing embers right over top of it.
I've heard people talking about, and there was a couple of people texting yesterday saying they're not sure why the province isn't doing backburns. Are there situations where you would be doing something like that? Maybe help us understand what a backburn is and what situations you might use it in.
Yeah, backburn is kind of the old terms on how they pronounce that. It's called prescribed burn nowadays.
Okay.
There's a lot of thought and process go into that. We have done that. We actually just came back from a wildfire where we actually were working command for a little bit down south on a First Nations where we had the opportunity. We had a 5,000 acre fire that was running north hard and we had to make a decision on how we were going to stop it. So we deployed cats and we cut a fire guard throughout the whole thing. And at 7 o'clock at night, we got a zero wind and it actually turned around and it started blowing a little bit back towards the fire. So those are ideal situations where you can use ignition to fight fire with fire. Mm-hmm. Lighting them in the boreal forest is just, it's SPSA has some super high trained staff to be doing that. I'm sure they are looking at those options. I can't comment on what they are or are not doing. But I can tell you that that's definitely in their bag of tools to use if and when the time presents itself.
Adam Hartle is my guest, the CEO of Core Rock Consulting and Construction, a company that does a lot of work with fighting wildfires. And you've been doing this for the better part of two decades, right, Adam?
Yeah, like with our company, we've gotten pretty serious into it in the last 5 years, buying wildland trucks, setting up tankers, mobilizing a massive subcontractor fleet of 38,000 gallon water capacity. We built this up for sure, but I have been doing fire most of my life.
Every once in a while we'll get a text on the text line, and I think if I've got an expert on the show, I'm going to ask the question that the listener is asking me. I saw a text this morning that said, yesterday I could see in the distance from my cabin light gray smoke. This morning it seems to be a lot darker. Does the color of the smoke tell you something, Adam?
Yes and no. Like the darker would probably indicate intensity. As everybody would know, as it gets warmer during the day, pardon me, and the humidex goes down, we come into situations called crossover where the humidex is lower than the ambient temperature outside. And that creates a very, very bad situation for fire intensity. So as you're seeing, gray would be more of like a slower moving fire, would be my opinion. And black would indicate that it's burning off lots of fuel.
I'm curious to know how the priorities are set up in the province. You know, we see a lot of people saying we're out fighting fires, or farmers are out with their cultivators trying to do work, frustrated they're not seeing provincial resources there. But when you've got the vast number of fires that we've got in the province, how do you prioritize that? What have you seen from the province and in the past when you've done work with province and federal government?
Well, I mean, usually as a contractor, we're usually one of the last called. It's unfortunate that way. I wish we could. I'm hopeful in the future we can work towards something better. But I would say, you know, I get the feeling, we've heard it too over and over and over. Where are the resources? Why aren't they here? And the other thing we have to think about is, you know, you may see a bomber bombing a fire only a couple times, and then the next 2 days later, it's out of control. But what we don't see is, we don't actually see what's happening on ground zero, right? So when we're sitting back at our cabin looking across the lake and we see all the smoke, we see a couple choppers flying around, they could be on the other side of the fire working it from the black and have, you know, 50 personnel there and a division supervisor, mm-hmm. and, you know, lots of resources. It's just so hard to see it all. So I wouldn't pass judgment that quickly. I do believe the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, I know for a fact, we have world-class firefighters. These type ones, they travel everywhere when they're not busy here.
Right. Yeah, we talk often about the incredible firefighters we've got in the province, and we'll continue to highlight that fact, that are out there working literally day and night in life-threatening conditions to try and save property, save people, and ultimately prevent these fires from spreading. Before I let you go, I'm just curious to know, tips that you give people for protecting their property. I know you do a little bit of property protection work as well, and have been receiving calls from people, I'm sure, a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Yes. Yeah, so we're bringing in more kits. We have a rental option or a purchase option. I would prefer they purchase, because my goal is to educate the public on the fact that they can buy these kits, keep them forever. Because if the fire's not on their doorstep today, the question is, when will it be on their doorstep, right? Mm-hmm. So we provide these kits. We come in, we professionally set them up. We can teach and coordinate with the landowner, the homeowner, or cabin owner, or First Nations on how to set these things up. And then, yeah, they're very, very, very easy to set up, but they're dependent on gas. Because, I mean, if a wildfire comes through, what's the first thing to go out? Probably power, right? So you want to be off grid with these systems as much as you can. And yeah, I mean, the fire doesn't have to be on the doorstep to be worried about this. Embers can travel up to a long ways away, and that is like one of the leading causes of the community starting on fire. It's embers that start spot fires, and then fire departments, like structure units, they're running around trying to put them out, and they're just starting everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So this is just really a good thing to have, to think about, and it should be had anyways, regardless.
Adam, appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Thanks for taking our call.
Thank you, Evan. Have a good day.
Adam Hartle, CEO of Core Rock Consulting and Construction. They are doing work and are right now working privately with individuals. They're set up and start Monday working with the SPSA. But I really have to say, I mean, we have been receiving a lot of texts from volunteer fire departments. I know Warman Fire Rescue, for example, on a mission up to Pelican Narrows at the request of the SPSA to help in protecting valuables up there. So they've sent, we talked about this yesterday, a fire engine. We have got so many incredible people that are volunteer firefighters that have been put into operational action, along with the full-time fire crew and the SPSA staff, and all of the resources that are poured into trying to deal with these wildfires. We are going to continue to follow this. In fact, we're going to check in with Mia Holowaychuk, who is our reporter on scene up in one of the fire zones yesterday with what she saw up there. We're going to talk with a resident of Candle Lake this morning as well. And I absolutely would love to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. We'll continue the conversation in moments here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.